You see, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and the word baptized means waterlogged, permeated. It's like a water balloon. Now, let me ask you this. If you have a water balloon that is filled with water and you puncture it, what comes out? Water, right. What if I have a water balloon and I puncture it with a pin and I say, Pepsi Cola? What comes out? Water. Whatever you're filled with when you're punctured, that's what's going to come out.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne showed us from the life of Peter the importance of letting the old person on the inside die so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When Peter did that, he began to experience the miraculous. Do you think it could happen in your life? Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Dead Men Thriving.
A few chapters later, Judas Iscariot betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is in John 18. Judas Iscariot gets a cohort of Roman soldiers to arrest Jesus, the one he was about to kiss. Now, if you look it up, a cohort of soldiers could be up to 600 soldiers. That's a big gang of people coming to arrest one man. Well, they come and march into the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples get up. The commander comes and says, "Where is this Jesus of Nazareth?" Jesus stands up and says, "I am he." He actually says the name of God, "I am that I am." And when he says that, the Bible says all the soldiers just fall down. Kawoom. They lose their equilibrium and just fall down. Now, Peter's seeing this. Whoa. And then when they stand back up and dust themselves off, Peter, having a sword, the Bible says, drew his sword and cut off the right ear of the high priest's slave named Malchus. I looked at that and I thought, what in the world are you doing, Peter? There's 600. Do you think Peter was aiming for this guy's right ear? No. He didn't go, "Excuse me, could you like pull your hair back a little bit?" Oh, dude. No. He wasn't trying for the guy's right ear. He was trying for his head. And the guy ducked. Whoop. Ow. Was he trying for one? No. He was going to start with one and work his way through all 600 of them. You think, well, that's pretty courageous. Uh-huh. Peter just threw his sword and he started. Why? Because he was in the presence of Christ. And if, I bet this is what Peter was thinking, if I get into trouble, I'll just yell and say, "Jesus, could you say that phrase, I am he again?" Isn't that right? Because when he said it the first time, kaboom. He said, "I'll just call on Jesus, tell him, hey, say that thing again, say that thing again." You see, in the presence of Jesus, not only did Peter, was he able to do the miraculous and speak the miraculous, would you write down, he had the courage of the miraculous. Now, here's something really interesting. Watch this. Jesus is then arrested. He is taken to the high priest's house, and now he's separated from Peter, and he's being interrogated out there. So he's not with Peter now. What happens to Peter now when he's separated? Oh, everything changes. He's around a campfire, warming himself. And a slave or a servant girl, I don't know, she's taking orders. And what, do you have anything to drink here? Soda, whatever. Wait a minute, she says. You're one of Jesus' disciples, the guy that's getting interrogated right now. And Peter says, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Go get your order." "Okay, all right, just chill, just check it. I just thought you looked like that guy." So she comes back and she says the same thing, second time. "You are that person." He says, "No, I'm not. Just give me my fries." And she walks back, third time. She said, you are that person. I saw you there in the entourage with Jesus. And the Bible says he begins to cuss and swear at her. Just then, a rooster crows. And he put his head down because Jesus had said to Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied me three times. Have you ever done that? Someone talks to you about your faith or go to church or something about Jesus. It's just something else. Or you know what Jesus is wanting you to do and you just do completely the opposite. And when it's done, you put your head down in your hands and say, what in the world did I do? See, the interesting thing about the Bible, and especially here in the book of Acts, it's not a history of what took place. It's not just a story of yesterday's people. It's a scene of the current people of God and what we wrestle with and what we must die to and ask the Holy Spirit to give us a new way of thinking. That exchange is huge because that's the kind of people that made that exchange. Those are the ones that God is looking for to build the church again. Look at the church in America. It's depleting. There's an inertia. There's an entropy. And God is still looking for businessmen and women who understand what it means to be dead people, but now come alive in the Holy Spirit, using God's not cloak, but mantle and a staff that turns into the rod of God. It's those people that God is looking for again, because the way that God built the church in the early book of Acts is the same way he will build the church today. It's interesting. Would you write down in your notes, when he's with the presence of Christ, he could do and speak and act courageously. But here it is. Would you write it down? But separated from Christ and his presence, Peter failed in every way. Is it the end of the story? Nope. Now comes the book of Acts. Jesus died, crucified, died, and was resurrected. And he's with the disciples. He's on his way in Acts chapter 3 to the book to the temple, third hour of prayer. And the man is there with this cardboard sign, "We'll work for food." And as Peter walks by, this guy goes, "Hey, can you spare a dollar?" Peter reaches in his pocket and says, "Gosh, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he grabbed this man by the hand and lifted him up. And the Bible says his legs and his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And he began to walk and leap and praise God. What happened? All of a sudden now he can, would you write it in there? He can once again do the miraculous. What happened after the slave girl? Acts chapter 3, he does the miraculous again. And then later on, we find him in the city square. Thousands had gathered. And he begins to tell people about this one who had died but is really alive. And there was such a response. Let me read it to you. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about," how many? 3,000 souls. Think about that. 3,000 people received Christ. All of a sudden, not only could he do the miraculous, now again he could speak the miraculous. Later on in Acts chapter 5, after he had spoken and so many came to Christ, the guards came out and just beat the stuffings out of him until Peter was black and blue. They threw him in prison, and the next day before they released him, gave him a mandate and commanded him and said, "You stop talking about this dead man as if he were alive." Peter says, "He is." They hit him again. "You will not speak in his name." Peter says, but there are many of us, as it were, who died and now are alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they said, you will not speak in his name. His response, check this courage out. Let's read it together. Go. So they went on their way. Here it is. Rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, here it is, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Can you see that? Not only could he now again do the miraculous and speak the miraculous, there was a restoration of a miraculous courage. Now, wait a minute. Jesus died, crucified, died, and resurrected. Uh-huh. So, but Jesus is not around in his physical form. Well, what happened that restored this miraculous power again? I'll tell you what happened. Acts chapter 2 happened. Do you remember chapter 1 and verse 8? But you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be like dead men alive by his power. And that's what will get the attention of people. You shall be my witnesses. Now that promise becomes reality in Acts chapter 2. It's called a day of Pentecost. And I want you to read what it says here. Would you read it with me? Go. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. Here it is, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you circle that? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. So you say, well, what are you saying, Wayne? Here's what I'm saying. Would you write this in? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the same as being in the very presence of Jesus Christ. That's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, I will breathe on you. Now receive the Holy Spirit. I go to my Father that I might send you the Holy Spirit, because these things and greater shall you do. But you got to die to self, because it's a whole new power. You can't do it on your own flesh. As bold and as noble as it seems, you can't do it. It's got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything has to belong to God. And then there's a miraculous new power. You see, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the word baptized means waterlogged, permeated. It's like a water balloon. Have you ever been beamed by a water balloon? Full of water. Now, let me ask you this. If you have a water balloon that is filled with water and you puncture it, what comes out? Water, right. And nothing else. If it's filled with water and you puncture it with a pin, what comes out? Okay, watch this. What if I have a water balloon and I puncture it with a pin and I say, Pepsi Cola? What comes out? Okay, all right. If I have a water balloon filled with water now, and I puncture it with a pin and I say, orange juice, what comes out? Water. In other words, listen carefully. Whatever you're filled with when you're punctured, that's what's going to come out. Let me put it another way. When you're punctured, what comes out is what you're filled with. Doesn't matter how nice you say. It doesn't matter how many songs we sing. Doesn't matter how we try to convince people what's inside of us. When we're punctured, what comes out is what is filling us. So, you say, how do you change that? Really easy. In us are like bins. Archived in the bins are certain emotional things that we've carried with us for years. We can hide it really well and wallpaper it, but they're still bins. And people will push a button Hey, I didn't get angry. She made me angry. No, she didn't. She pushed a certain button and out came a bin that was filled with anger that you've been retaining. And when that bin comes out, it overflows and anger rears its ugly head. And we say, she did it. No, she just pushed the button. That bin came out. Now, here it is. When that bin of anger comes out, the best thing to do is to get away real quick. And if you're in a discussion and you feel anger coming out when you're being punctured, the best is just say, excuse me, I got to use the bathroom. And go to the bathroom, shut the door. Really, and here's what you say. Dear God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because when that bin is open and the Lord fills you with his Holy Spirit, you don't have to work against anger in Jesus' name. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and he drives out the darkness. You see, if I am filled with greed, when there's a door open for this, I will have greedy motives that will come. If I am filled with self, when I'm punctured, selfishness will stain everything. That's how it is. If I'm filled with a immoral or sexual temptation, when that's punched, I will take advantage of that. But when you feel selfishness and you're in the middle of a conversation, you think, oh man, I know I'm selfish. Go out to the backyard and just say, oh God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Then whatever you're filled with, when you're punctured, that's what will come out. And every time a bin opens and it has nothing of God, but all of self or greed or avarice or pride, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, because then you'll be less and less like the old you and more filled with the Spirit of God. And when one of those things rears its ugly head, that's the time now to ask God to fill you with his Spirit. And if you do that each time, you will be changed into his glory from bin to bin, into his likeness, until you are baptized with the Spirit of God. So that everything about you, when punctured, becomes a response of the Spirit of God, because you've died and now there's a new thinking, a new perspective, and it's about God's kingdom. And God says, that's the businessman, that's the housewife, that's what I used to build the church. And what God used back then, he's still using today. And it's time for us to be filled with the Spirit. Because you're going to come to the end of yourself, and I hope sooner the better. Some of you are in the middle of a marital struggle. Pause and just say, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? You might need to do that 10 times a day. That was actually a true story. I'm in the shower this morning and I just paused and said, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? Because I just need your Spirit to fill me today. And sometimes God just takes us to the end of our rope. These last few weeks have been tough sledding for me. As you know, I've been like a missionary from this church building a Bible college. And one of the reasons is I've studied churches and movements. Did you know the New Hope movement in Hawaii is the largest in the history of the state of Hawaii? But after I've studied these things, I've noticed that after a founder dies and goes away, historically, they shrink. They all go back. Unless they have developed a pipeline of fresh leaders. Only if they've developed a pipeline or more of fresh leaders to continue, then that movement is sustainable. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I know that if we don't have a fresh pipeline of leaders, and one of the best things like a lot of Hawaii kids can, maybe even should do, is leave Hawaii for a while, go get their training in another place, and then get a call back home. But anyway, so I know I need to do that. Well, last couple of weeks, it's been really tough sledding. First of all, I heard 2 weeks ago, I realized, in fact, our administrator called me into his office and said, Wayne, we're $300,000 behind. And he said, you need to raise $300,000 by July 1st. I said, oh, thank you very much. That really helped, made my day. Oh, Lord, how am I going to do that? And then I fly out to Orlando, Florida, because I'm speaking at an accreditation thing for the school to maintain our accreditation. I don't know if I scratched my eyelid or something bit me, but my eye swells up the next morning. And I look like a pirate. So I fly back home. And then because of this budget crunch, in the last 2 weeks, I've had to announce to 9 faculty and staff that they will not be having their contracts renewed. Do you know how emotionally exhausting that is? And then I play volleyball and sprain my ankle. The next day I've got to fly to Denver to speak, and my ankle just swells up. Now, I'm already exhausted from this emotional stuff with staff and raising money, and my eyeball hurts, and my ankle is swollen up. And I'm on the plane, and I ask this flight attendant, could you get me some ice? I got an ace bandage. I just need to wrap ice on it. So she got me some. I wrapped it on my ankle, and I fall asleep. What I don't know is that this Ziploc bag has a leak in it, and it's leaking into my shoe. So I get up, and it's a squish, squish. What is going on? Because I wrapped it, you know, with this, just wrapped it on there. So I get off the plane, and I'm walking about this slow. That, because it really hurts, you know. So the next day after, I sprain it. And then I, after about, oh, you know how big the Denver airport is? It's huge. And so I'm walking, and then I look down, and my ace bandage is unwrapped, and it's... I look like, you know, like Lazarus coming from the dead. And by this time, the ice had melted, so it was just water bags that I was carrying. Well, they flipped off somewhere, and I have no idea where these bags are. It's still probably today, still in that airport somewhere. Well, I am just so tired and so sore. And I stopped and I said, God, could you just kill me now? Wouldn't bother me at all. And then I just came to the point and I said, Lord, I've been trying to just muscle this thing up. I can't anymore. I give up. And I sat down and I said, Lord, you're going to have to take over because I'm done. And so I sat and had a pity party for a while, and then I thought, okay, I've got to go catch my plane. So I get up, and I thought, you know what? I've got an hour still before I have to catch the next plane, so I'm just going to take my time. I'm just going to enjoy this stroll. And so I'm walking, holding on, and all of a sudden I think, hey, that's some nice music. Did you know that airports play background music? I didn't know that. Because I'm always rushing. And so I slowed way down and I thought, oh, that's the nicest music I ever heard. And then I see the side, there's the nicest pictures on the wall. I called my wife. I said, honey, do you know that the nicest music is in airports? And the pictures are so pretty. And I just enjoyed the pictures. It's almost like the Lord said, you know, sometimes you just got to let God take you to the end of your rope so that you give up. And it's almost like then and only then will you start to hear the melodies of heaven. And you start to see what God has placed around you. And it's a lot more beautiful than you ever thought. And then I thought, oh, you know, I'm okay. I'm all right. And so things went well in Denver, and I flew to L.A. and then back up to the college. And I know God's going to do what he wants to do, because he would never put us in a place and then say, now muscle it yourself. No. In fact, the best is we need to learn to be dead people and let the power of the Holy Spirit resurrect us. That is only then that we'll hear the melodies of heaven and we'll become a witness to people when they see dead men walking and thriving. Where does it begin? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the same as being in the very presence of Jesus Christ. How many of you would say, I could use a little filling of the Holy Ghost? Amen? Yeah, let's do it.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Dead Men Thriving by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.